Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is an old tradition of the church. I didn't come up with it. It's a long, long ago tradition that Holy Saturday is a service of baptismal remembrance. So after this sermon, everybody's going to gather as you can, close to the font. Everybody comes up and stands far away to remember that you've been baptized. So I think it appropriate for me to stand here and stand. There is water in the font. And I want to say a few things about baptism. Probably nothing groundbreaking, but just a few things about it. The first thing that occurs to me about baptism is that I think our mind reacts sometimes against the simplicity of God's word. And I want you to hear that phrase on purpose, the simplicity of God's word. By simplicity, I do not mean simplistic. It's wrong to be simplistic. But very often the Bible is beautifully simple and direct. And so we tend to cloud our thoughts with 100 things, and the Bible says, come to the font, right? Be baptized. It says it over and over again. The Bible is full of people being baptized. The Bible is full of water cleansing and water purifying, and the brain starts to think, well, wait a minute. If you're going to say, Pastor, that people, once they're saved, or if they're a child brought here for the first time, that people need to come to be baptized, the mind says, it's just water. And the mind will say, well, sometimes I know people that used to be walking the walk, and now they're not. So they were baptized, but they left the faith. Right? And so the mind reacts against these things. We'll say, well, salvation is a matter of the heart. This water does not touch my heart. It touches the outside of my body. Right? And so the mind reacts against the simplicity of Holy Scripture, which says, be baptized. Over and over again, the Bible says, be baptized. Yesterday was Good Friday. I think everybody I see here tonight was at one of the services yesterday, one of my favorite services of the year, Tenebrae, where we focus, you know it, that Christ died for you on the cross, you hear it week to week, but that focus is really, right, with detailed attention to meditate on the cross of our Savior. So Good Friday we got, cross. Tomorrow is Easter Sunday. What's that? His resurrection, the empty tomb. Those things are your salvation. But here's a little phrase that I came up with long ago, four words. I think you've heard it sometimes. If not, you're going to hear it now. This is Pastor Walt's definition of a sacrament. Four words. Grace has a place. Just that simple. Grace has a place. Now, the reason I want to say that is because we will say, well, grace. Okay, I want to talk about grace. Grace means that we receive something we don't deserve. But if we're receiving something we don't deserve, that means that we are less than we should have been, and God is being merciful to us sinners. Right? You follow. Well, if we are sinners and we don't deserve God's grace, what won for me that grace, right? Well, yesterday, the cross of Jesus, that won for me the grace of the Savior. All that's true. But here's the thing. It comes to me personally, because we could say, okay, Pastor, I want to talk about the theology of grace, and I want to talk about how God uses the Word to change my stubborn heart. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit's motions of convincing me. All that's good. We should study the theology of it, know it. But here's what I want us to know. All that theology comes to here. All that theology says, not just, here's the theology in the book. This says, Walt, be baptized. Right? You see what I'm saying? Grace has a place. Grace of God, doctrine of grace, what we know about God and our sin and His mercy and the Savior and the Holy Spirit. And He says, come here. And the brain says, too simple. And the Word says, be baptized. Matthew 28. Jesus has died, has risen again, has with the disciple for 40 days, and right before he goes into heaven, he says what? Everybody calls it the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. And so a lot of times people think, well, go and make disciples. They think, well, that means convert people to the Christian worldview. And I'm all for worldview. I've preached on it, right? I'm all for worldview, but that's not what he says. He says, go and make disciples. What's the next phrase? Baptizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the exact same thing. That grace has a place. The name of your God, it's not Vishnu, it's not Allah. None of those man-made gods. The name of your God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I want you to take that name and I want you to place it on people. Go and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing that we might say. We'll say, well, if baptism, and it's quick and simple, you've seen baptisms and right at this font. Usually a child, but sometimes an adult comes here. We say, well, it's just a few moments. If you're saved, aren't you supposed to grow? Is that true? Once you're saved, you should grow. Yes. Well, guess what? The Great Commission doesn't say, go and make disciples, baptizing, period. What's the next phrase? Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and, Bill just said it, teaching them. Yeah, true enough. This is a moment. Growth is the rest of your life. That's what Jesus said. The crucified, risen Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. So even though the mind might say, it can't be as simple as that, the Bible says, make disciples. How? Baptize them, teach them. Boom, right there it is. Now, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. Jesus is now not just risen, he's ascended into heaven. 10 days later, the disciples are sitting around. What are we supposed to do? And the Holy Spirit descends on them and gives them the miraculous ability to speak other languages. Remember that passage, right? And then people around them are seeing what on earth is going on. They're actually making fun of them. They're drunk. And Peter says, it's too early in the morning, nobody's drunk. But he says, this is a fulfillment of the prophet who said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. And Peter begins to preach even more so and says, not only has God sent his spirit, but God has sent his son. And Peter, a little bit directly, says, whom you crucified, but who God raised. And we know the Holy Spirit is at work because they're convicted in their hearts, and they say, literally, brothers, what should we do? And guess what he says? Repent. Is that the end? He says, repent and be baptized. Now, it's funny because some churches will say, well, baptism, yeah or no, whichever, right? Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. Peter says on the day of Pentecost, when they're struck to the heart, what should we do? He says, repent and be baptized. And then he says, the promise is for you and your children. Now, that's Acts chapter 2. Guess what happens throughout the book of Acts? Baptism, including a couple beautiful passages which show the gospel crossing cultural boundaries. And I want to make very clear about that phrase, cultural boundaries, because you probably know that in the first generation of Christianity, not all, but most Christians were Israelites. And so they thought, well, we are Israelites, we have the Old Testament, this belongs to us. And so God occasionally said, it goes way beyond that. And so in Acts chapter 8, Philip is sent by God to walk alongside an Ethiopian eunuch. I want us to hear this. A Jewish man and a black man. And they would think that's a cultural divide. And God says, I know about your cultural divides. I do not care about them. I care about the gospel reaching this man. And that man happens to be reading the book of Isaiah. Right? By his stripes were healed. And the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, who's the author talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip says, he's talking about the Christ, who only a few weeks ago died and rose again, and we've come to him in baptism. And they are riding in that chariot, and the eunuch literally says, with all their cultural differences still there, the eunuch says, look, there's some water. What prevents, this is what he says literally, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip gets it. The answer is nothing. I love it. They descend into a pond, and a Jewish man and a black man become brothers in Jesus at that moment right here. In Acts chapter 10, it's now Peter and Cornelius is a centurion. That means he works for the Romans. That means he works for the people that killed Jesus. And God says, yes, them. You know that vision where Peter is asleep and God sends a vision, kill and eat all these unclean animals, and Peter's like, Lord, I never touched those things. And God says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. He's preparing him for the knock at the door from Gentiles, and God says, go with them. And he preaches to them about Jesus, the crucified and risen one. And the Holy Spirit descends on those men. I believe the Holy Spirit descends on them before their baptisms to make it clear to Peter that these are now sons and daughters of the covenant. And Peter himself says, what prevents these people from being baptized? Answer, nothing. And I know 100 objections flow in. It's just water. It's not holy water. People ask me from time to time, Pastor Walt, where do you get this water? Are you ready? From the city of Irmo. Well, you might say, well, then how can water wash away my sins? I had a definition. You heard Pastor Walt's definition of sacrament. What is it? Grace has a place. As it does right there, too, by the way, at the altar, same thing. Here, another smart fellow, smarter than me, St. Augustine had a definition of a sacrament. His definition is the word comes to the element, and the element becomes a sacrament. Isn't that wonderful? So you might say to me, that water can't wash away my sins. And St. Augustine would say, if the word, he means this word, if this word comes to that element, it's not the water, it's God. Right? That, by the way, is why the church doesn't invent sacraments. Sometimes you hear churches doing the sacrament of milk and honey. That's unbiblical. This one's in the Bible. What I want you to do, we'll look at this to close. Take your hymnal out and look at page 325. This is the small catechism on baptism. We're not going to read the whole thing, but if you look at page 325, and you'll see in bold letters, bold red letters, it says the sacrament of holy baptism. In bold black letters, it says first, then second, then third, then fourth. You see the outline there. I'm not going to read every word of it, but essentially, this is what it says. What is baptism? Water plus the word. That's what Augustine said. The word comes to the element becomes a sacrament. What is baptism? This water, this word, right? What does it do? It forgives my sins. Luther always asks, is that in the Bible? Yes, guess what he quotes? Matthew 28, and then he quotes Mark 16, and then he quotes Titus chapter 3. And essentially, without reading it, you can see, when he asks, how can water do all these things, what does he say? It's not the water. It's what? It's the word plus the water. It's not the power of the pastor. We are not imbued with a power at ordination. We are imbued with the power of the Word of God. Now, the reason I wanted you to go there is that we might say that your baptism was an event. I want to say your baptism is a continuing thing. If you look at the fourth part, what does such baptizing with water indicate? And indicates that the old Adam, your sinful nature, your desire to go your own way, your desire to think and believe what you want to, regardless of what God says. The old Adam should what? Be drowned. Isn't that great? Be drowned. Those lengthy readings at the beginning of our worship service, the army of Egypt is pursuing Israel, and God what? Drowns them. Everybody's got the point. The old Adam should be drowned how often? Daily. I love Luther's Catechism because it's always so short, but it's always so full of stuff. The old Adam should be drowned daily. That doesn't mean just that I was baptized back on such and such a date. That means when I wake up this morning, I'm going to be battling my sin nature. And I have to push that old Adam back into the water. And no matter how mature I get as a Christian, no matter how much I think I've overcome the flesh, I have not. If you are drawing breath into your lungs, you will battle it tomorrow. But he says, I need to drown the old Adam. Why? So that a new man should emerge and arise to live before God. How often? Daily. Isn't that fun? Daily. So some people might say, well, you're talking about baptism. That's something I was baptized long ago. What's that have to do with me now? Everything. Grace has a place because you serve a God who's rich in grace and mercy, who in Christ has redeemed you, has claimed you to be your own. And if you were baptized at this church or any other church, if you were baptized with water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit was at work that day, and how often do you need to think of it? Every day. Martin Luther had a simple creed. I've mentioned it before. I want to mention it again. Luther would wake up in the morning and say, I am baptized. I love that. That's a creed. Don't show of hands, but you can think in your heart, who here has memorized the Apostles' Creed? Some of us. Who here has memorized the Nicene Creed? Fewer of us. Show of hands. Who here has memorized the Athanasian Creed? Not the pastor. If you're not sure, it's on page 319 in the hymnal. You can look at it. If you're bored this week, you can memorize it. But I think you can memorize this creed. I what? I am baptized. Not my work. God's work. Not long ago, for right now. What does tomorrow hold? I know not, nor do you. But I do know this. Christ Jesus, my Savior, died for my sins and yours, rose again. The Holy Spirit has used his word to speak to my thick head, and has come to me in this place and baptized me and you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.